The heat is on. It's week three. We got to get into it. If you are behind 0-2, don't worry. We got help. If you are soaring, let's keep it going. All your favorite usual segments for this show. We'll do some housekeeping. We'll do a little would you rather, do some reload, and give you some concise DFS picks this week. Let's do it. Time to learn, scout, win, and repeat. Let's continue the process. Housekeeping, as usual, first we're going to do our misses from last week because that's the most important thing, as we talked about, is just gaining credibility through talking about what we got right, but also what we got wrong here at the process. So, right off the bat, the cash game quarterbacks did kind of what we expected across the board. Josh Allen was what we wanted. Goff, Tannehill, it all worked out. The tournament ones, we were taking more chances. The Mahomes, Fields, Herbert, not so much. Mahomes a little, but at $8,300, you really want more than that, okay? That's what we saw this week, and we're going to narrow it down more when we get to the DFS picks again this week. We're gonna be working with some singularity so that we can narrow down the path to victory on DraftKings, at least on Sunday. That's how the wide receivers shook up. What else did we get right? Wrong. Calvin Ridley, wrong about that in tournaments. Cash games, Hopkins didn't do enough to justify $6,700. Zay Jones was a big miss too. He was a complete dud. In fact, Christian Kirk actually took that production that I thought would go to Jones. We gave concise reasons why Jones would get it and not Kirk. Didn't work out that way. Kirk actually might be a repeating thing this week. Where else did we miss? Mike Williams in tournaments. Dotson gave some good, sound evidence why Dotson would be usable in tournaments. Was not the case. We did mention Ridley, but we had some hits. Stephon Diggs, good enough, but really, St. Brown, Keenan Allen went off. So, if you had Keenan Allen and Mike Evans together, boom, 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 right? Keenan Allen went off. Mike Evans went off. T. Higgins, who we had as a tournament play, went off. Gabe Davis. These are all guys we signified as play them last week. And the deep picks that I had, the deep sleepers, Boyd did okay for $3,800, but Tank Dell, let's talk about it because that was somebody that we took a few moments, talked about on this show, said he was the deepest pick at $3,200. He absolutely went off over 20 points. So having that does exactly what we explained last week. It makes you have a Millie Maker lineup because you've got this player that's less than 5% owned, which means that nobody else has him. We did fall away from using the Los Angeles Chargers run game behind Kelly, realizing Eckler was going to be out. I didn't really fall into that trap. Now, our running backs didn't pay off because we use a lot of guys that didn't work out. Let's talk about that. Josh Jacobs, Breece Hall, Damian Pierce, Zach Moss. These guys all did not work out for cash game circumstances. So I think that's where I lost a lot of steam. But when you think about, I guess the point I was going to make is when you think about ownership, like on DraftKings, so many people use Kelly that the fact that he didn't do much didn't really hurt those people because he's so highly owned, over 70% owned. It's not going to kill you, right? Now, somebody like me, that's where I would capitalize if I could have picked some guys that would have, vastly outperformed him, because knowing the rest of the field has him and you don't, now you got an edge. Now you're a little bit different. So even if we are the same at like two or three spots or similar points at two or three spots, same ownership, same guy, doesn't matter. You found some way to get different. That's really the key to winning tournaments on those websites, is find some one way to be different. For tight ends, Kelsey was fine. Didn't go off. But we missed on Higbee and Musgrave. Waller and Ingram as well for tournaments. Not a great week for tight ends last week, but LaPorta was fine and serviceable. So on the high end and the low end, we hit it. In the middle was buh. And that'll be reflective of what we do this week, as you see. Okay. So we did the running backs already. Defense, I'm just going to say the Giants did not work out. Cincinnati did not work out as planned. So those were the big misses. We talked about the hits. Need more. Just need more, right? We need more allowance, so we got to do more. All right, that's the hits and misses for DFS. Thursday, we had the Giants in San Francisco. Giants traveled to San Francisco for that game Thursday night. And, you know, San Fran won. They're rolling. I think the couple of thoughts I want to say about this game is Purdy continues to not turn the ball over. San Francisco's offense in general continues to not turn the ball over. That's a huge key to their success. He continues to be a little bit better than serviceable. Like a little bit better than just blah, right? And so we'll have to see where the saga goes when they get into the playoffs with a talented defense. Shanahan and company, though, stuck to their word and wanting to get Mitchell more involved as a way of not overusing McCaffrey early in the season, and they did do that. So we saw some balance back there. Kittle was fine. Kittle did okay. He had a great day. And so did Deebo Samuel in the absence of IU. So they have so many weapons. It's hard for any one team to try to focus and stop them. They also will use different formations, move everybody around, change the groupings and personnel. You've got guys like Juszczyk out there that can play fullback, running back, tight end, block at the line. There's a lot to actually cover. And so they continue to just look potent at what they do. And the management knows this. The John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan signed the extensions today. So we're going to keep seeing this go down in San Francisco just like this. Defense, they're matching the occasion right now with to see if they can hold up. But for right now, San Francisco, they look great. They look like they're going to win their division. But as we said, will they be able to take a step in the playoffs? Giants, on the other hand, I don't think they gave up, but it's a tough one for them. They were in this game until the end, right? I don't want to say they gave up. Week one, they kind of gave up. I don't think they gave up at the end, but it got away from them because San Francisco is too good. So that's the issue there. There's no true, like, ultimate talent at wide receiver for this team. That's going to keep being their problem, I think. You can stuff eight in the box. I mean, sometimes you see Slayton and these guys make a miraculous catch here or there, but the team has no consistency at wide receiver, and Waller doesn't look the part at tight end either. So the Giants are going to have to think about some things as they go into week four already with their backs against the wall. So they don't look like a playoff team, basically. We had that one wrong. I had that one wrong. Moving right along with the housekeeping. Just a couple of notes here. Are you making too many moves early? And I apologize for the sniffling. I have allergies as the weather changed for some whatever reason. Are you making too many moves too early? I have a league where everybody has fire-selled their whole team. Fire-sold their whole team. What is the point of doing that? 2-3 weeks into the season. You drafted these guys, so here's the thing. You want me to believe you know what you're doing? Okay. However, think about what we're talking about here. You had all summer, you had months to think about what you want to do, plan a strategy, who you want to draft. You did that. Less than 3 weeks into the season, you have now undone most of what you've done. Where is the credibility in that? So you didn't know what you were talking about before when you had like 2-3 months or whatever, but in a couple weeks, you figured out what was wrong with that, right? Just by watching the replays? I don't think so. So we have to settle in to the commitments that we made in the draft, or else why did you do it? If you are making too many moves too early, are you an excitable person? Are you a person with a, like, you know, short attention span? Like, these may be things playing into why you're doing that. It has nothing to do with football. We can't play season long like we play daily. That's what daily's for. If you want to have that rush of, now I got to play this guy this week. He's the one that's going to be hot. That's what we do the daily for. But this is why consistently I do so well in season-long formats. It's because you've got to be willing to stay the course. Don't trade your people away too early. Don't fire sell what you have. Don't give up on guys who haven't given you the points that you want. I've seen Hurts on the block. I see Brown on the block. AJ Brown. Stick with it is all I'm saying. Just word to the wise. And final note for housekeeping. What do you do if you're 0-2? We got to talk about that because there may be some 0-2 people. And I just said don't get, you know, too, you know, overly concerned with that and don't fire sell everything. So what do? You do get aggressive, but you don't get dumb. What we mean by get aggressive is start looking at the matchups sooner than you normally do. Give yourself more time to think about what you're seeing with your opponent for the week. Is there a better waiver wire pick out there to match up with your opponent? If you're desperate at a spot, like, we got to start playing the chess games, right? What does he have? Does he have, you know, a viable piece from his team that's on the wire that I can use to plug in myself to him if I am fearful that he's a better team than me? That is option B, because option A is always go to other people and trade for somebody on their team. Your fellow league mates have the better players on their team. The better players are not on the waiver wire. They would have been drafted, except for a few circumstances, right? Like Puka Nacua. But that's already eaten up. So the better players are on your opponent's team. If you can't use the wire to pick up pieces that match what he's doing and get yourself close to him. So maybe it's not even your opponent's quarterback's wide receivers. I know that's an overly obvious thought, but what if it's, you know, a good matchup and it's the other side, you know, it's the his, so it's like your opponent's quarterback's opposition. What if you can get one of those receivers if you're expecting a good game from his quarterback, right? So for example, if I'm playing Kirk Cousins and I'm worried about, you know, this matchup with my league mate, and he's got Kirk Cousins. And if I've got a receiver spot that I'm worried about, what we're saying is go pick up Osborne, KJ Osborne. He should be out there on the wire. Pick him up and use him there. Because if we think Minnesota and Chargers are going to shoot over and go over and have this great game, then get a piece of it, get advantage of it. And then if he has the quarterback Cousins, it just makes sense, right? So this is what I mean when I say get aggressive, not fire sale. And, you know, don't get dumb. 0-2 is not a big deal. I definitely don't make any moves and don't worry about it if I'm 0-2, but I look at the points and I'm right up there with the leaders or in the middle or something like that. If you're 0-2 and you have the lowest points, like I actually am in one of my leagues, I'm telling you, we're in this together, at least with this one league. If that is you, if that's us, then you got to do that stuff that I was just saying. All right, that's housekeeping for this week. Let's play a round of Would You Rather. Would you rather for week three? Take a look at what we see on Fantasy Pros like we do every week. First up, Marquise Brown, Arizona versus Breece Hall. Who would you rather play this week? So Arizona is going to be playing the Cowboys. I guess the insinuation is that, you know, they're going to have to air it out. And we know Diggs is out, right? But all that being said, I'm still going with Breece Hall just because the Jets will need to run to beat New England. There's no way around them. So let's go Breece Hall. Usage, usage, usage. Marquise Brown, not even, you know, the guy that I think Dobbs is going to be looking for most, as we'll talk about in Reload. Next up, Michael Thomas versus Rashad White. I would go Rashad White because he separated himself as the primary back. Thomas, while he's a great receiver, and you know, maybe not the best matchup for them as a team this week, but we'll get into this later. It's a great receiving core. He doesn't need to be the number one option, basically, is what we're saying. So if the going gets tough, they can go away from him. Rashad White, though, it's got to be a part of the plans on the ground. So let's go with him. Okay, Hunter Henry or Tank Dell this week. So we used Tank last week. Now everybody's going to want to use Tank every week. We're going to go away from it, and we're going to use Hunter Henry now. New England versus the Jets. Jets seem to have some problems covering the tight end. We want to exploit that with a guy who has been getting primary usage as a receiver from his quarterback. So lock in Henry in that scenario. Chris Godwin or Rashad White this week. Tampa Bay is going to be trailing. So I love to think that Evans will continue to ball out, and he has been doing well in zone. So, you know, there's that possibility, but, you know, they're facing the Eagles. they haven't, you know, we just saw Cousins and company put up a bunch of points last week. So Godwin, we had to say, is in play too. However, I don't want to get overly enthralled with it, right? But in terms of which way do we go, Godwin or White, I will give the edge to Godwin. Although I think the path to being the Eagles is on the ground. I just think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they are going to be down by too much. So they're not going to be able to play that game, I don't think. So that scenario, we will simply go with Chris Godwin. Okay, Courtland Sutton, or Roschon Johnson. And Denver's got Miami. I think for this one, I want to go with Roschon Johnson because he is the change of pace back. We know he's going to get some looks, some touch. Denver doesn't look consistent. So I just don't know what I'm getting from Sutton. If I'm looking for something sure, it's Johnson in that scenario. Jalen Waddle versus James Cook. Give me Jalen Waddle in that scenario if he plays. He's got the concussion, though, so we'll see. Josh Reynolds versus Tyler Algier. I'll go Algier here. I was wrong about Algier. We didn't recommend him last week. He did score, and he did put up points, but he's not. It's not a split backfield. He's still the number two, but he's the change of pace, and he just made more of it last week. He's not splitting anything. He just made the most of what he had. Okay, but that being said, I think there's more meat on the bone for him than Josh Reynolds this week. All right. Tyler Lockett or Aaron Jones? If Jones goes, let me get him. Lockett had a great week last week, but his, you know, top-notch performances are going to be, you know, sporadic. It's not a consistent thing. We've seen him do this. We've seen him do this last year. But if you want to count on that from week to week, that's dangerous. So we would say Aaron Jones coming back. If he's coming back, let's roll that. Christian Kirk or Rashad White? So, you know, Jacksonville, interesting matchup for them this week. They are taking on Houston. I think that Christian Kirk can assert himself again this week. Rashad White, I do, as I said, believe is primary back for Tampa Bay, but just usage is going to be an issue. So let's go with Kirk. Let's go with Kirk for the same, you know, reasons that we talked about, going with Godwin over White. And Najee Harris versus Chris Olave. Well, in this scenario here, I think I'm looking at, because Pittsburgh is going to be facing the Vegas Raiders, I'm going with Najee, man. The Raiders don't scare me with their run game, and Olave is going to have the possibility of seeing some Jaire Alexander, although, you know, maybe it's not him. Maybe, you know, it could be Michael Thomas, but I think it's Olave, to be honest with you. That makes the most sense. So I think Najee Harris makes the most sense there. Gabe Davis, big week last week, him or Isaiah Pacheco this week? Gabe Davis. So Buffalo is taking on Washington, and I just not sure if they get to Gabe, if the need is there at all. So I will take Isaiah Pacheco in this one, running some clock. Kansas City should be up on the Bears all day. Okay, and then finally, would I rather take Zach Moss or Nico Collins this week? I think you got to go with Nico Collins, knowing that Houston seems to be trailing. Jacksonville's having problems in the secondary to some degree, even though they have good corners. They've given up some production. I know they've played the Chiefs and whatnot, but Nico Collins, I would say, in a better scenario here versus Zach Moss trying to take on that Baltimore defense this week. He just hasn't looked dynamic. He's looked better than Deion Jackson, but not like anything super perfect. That's what I'd rather for this week.
And now it's time for the process to reload.
All right, it is time for us to reload week three. Go through the game scripts game by game and talk about what we think we're going to see. We already went over Thursday. let's jump into Sunday. Indianapolis at Baltimore. Okay, right where we just left off. No Richardson. He's out with the concussion still, or the injury, whatever they have it. But you're going to get Minshew. This makes the offense a little bit better in Indianapolis. So I don't think there's going to be continuity issues. It's probably ups everybody a little bit. But Baltimore, the better team. Okay, here's the scenario, though. They've got seven key injuries this week. You still got Humphreys and Peters injured in the secondary, safety and corner. So we have guys down. You have guys down on the offensive line, too. So this is going to help to level it up for Indy a little bit. Obviously, Baltimore, you know, guys in the backfield having issues. They don't have Justice Hill either now, in addition to J.K. Dobbins. And so you see them stepping to practice squad guys, Melvin Gordon and Kenyon Drake. They're going to be signed. Okay, where does this one land? Pittman should have an okay day. There's just too many problems in the secondary. I know they played well against Cincinnati last week. Baltimore really feels as though their next guys up are going to be great at being the next guys up. I want to put my name attached to Pittman, though, and say that Pittman goes off. I think Minshew can activate him. I believe that for sure. Indianapolis loses this game. I don't see the running game particularly going crazy. Baltimore's been better at stuff in the run this year. We just said Moss doesn't look great. I don't like Pierce or anything else in the Indianapolis pass game, but I think Minshew can do enough satellite stuff to take care of Pittman, maybe get some garbage time for Pittman. Love the Baltimore defense. Love Lamar. Mark Andrews in a fine place. The wide receivers, he's kind of, you know, putting the ball around a little bit everywhere, but we got OBJ out. I do think that does elevate Zay Flowers just a little bit. I wouldn't have said so earlier in the week, but there we are. Reload. All right, Tennessee at Cleveland. Now, no Chubb, and for what it's worth, guys, I think he's done. That's the most gruesome injury you'll see. I feel bad for him. He's a great guy from what everyone says and from what we see. That's terrible. I don't think you come back from that. Definitely not at that job. You know, this is a scenario to where maybe, you know, you're the tandem back for some team, give you a little run. We'll see if that knee doesn't swell up too much. But, at his age and everything, it's over. The way they don't pay running backs, it's over. So, sad way to see things go. And, you know, Jerome Ford was drafted to take his place. So, that is, you know, what they expected to happen, just not this soon. They let Hunt go, and they drafted Ford, right? So, people thinking that Hunt's going to be the lead back this week, that's wrong. They could have made this the heir apparent here, and they didn't want to pay him and let him go. Now, they do bring him back in because of familiarity with the offense. That's great. So here's the way it shapes up. Ford's going to get the first look, especially at what he did, against Pittsburgh. And he's earned that. So here's the way it's going to shake down. If Ford... And this is a tough match with Tennessee this week. They got the number one run defense. They were great at stuff in the run last year. So that's not a mirage or an illusion. They're just going to be good at it. Ford's going to have an opportunity over the next 2 weeks to prove that he is the man, it's his job. And then Hunt is just doing what he was doing for Chubb at best. If Ford struggles this week, he might struggle this week because that defense is great. But if he struggles the following week, then you're going to start to see Hunt take over, and this will be his job this year. Now, I think, you know, Cleveland's still got, they've got some injuries on the line, but they can weather that with their backups. It's a great opportunity for Ford. I think he's going to be very motivated. It's season long. I feel great about playing him, but at DFS, we don't need to get there. He has got to assert himself. This is his career on the line here. This is his opportunity to be the man in this Cleveland offense, try to be what Chubb has been. And this is the perfect way to show them. If he can put together 70 yards and a touchdown, you know, 65 and a touchdown, 80 yards and a touchdown against this defense, then I think that it's his job and we don't have to worry about Hunt. But if he falls on his face and you are a Ford owner, you may need to start thinking about going to the Hunt owner, or else you're going to lose out on that job altogether. And it's such a good running game, we don't want to lose out on it altogether. Now, in this one, like I said, they're going to struggle. The path to victory for Cleveland is through the air. I like Watson here. He's not been as bad as everybody thinks. it's your mental perception of him as a person that disallows you from looking at what you see on the field, which is that for somebody who has been out of the game for so long, he's coming back not too bad, and he'll get his sea legs under him, and that'll get better. This week against this Tennessee poor secondary, I like what I see. Cooper's been good. He's had the groin injury, surgery in the offseason. He's been serviceable playing through that. Loaded up. I like that this week. Those ancillary pieces, not so much interesting, but that dynamic right there, Cooper, Watson, leading the way is what I believe. I do think that Tennessee is going to be able to run the ball with Derrick Henry. Tannehill is going to enjoy much less success this week than he did last week. I don't think he's going to have all day to get the ball out. He's going to have problems running those longer routes. I think Cleveland has a great opportunity to keep everything in front of them. I believe that Cleveland wins this football game based off the strength of their defense and actually Watson holding his own. And I think Ford comes back and finishes him off in the end. Reload. Tennessee at Miami. I'm sorry, Tennessee. Denver at Miami. Okay, here's a scoop with Denver. You see at moments they look like a Sean Payton team, but they can't hold it together all game. Russ Wilson, you know, has the lapse here or there, and they lose it. So, you know, I have to walk back my expectation of how good they're going to be unless we can see more consistency, and it's just so early in the project, so who knows. But in terms of this contest here, Miami should win this football game. Now, Jaylen Waddle, concussion protocol, game time decision, basically. Love Miami's offense if he plays, because there's just two, you can't have guys that are both that fast, him and Hill, stretch the defense, and you guys not have to pay. Now, I think it complicates things if Waddle isn't out there, because they do have PS2 in terms of Denver, Patrick Surtain Jr. Second, PS2 is going to do battle with Hill all day. I'm not saying he's going to negate him, but he's really going to neutralize that as an option. I don't see Hill burning him up all day long, okay? The other option would have been Waddle. Now, if Waddle can't go, I don't think one of these ancillary pieces is going to be able to step up to the point that you would need. So it becomes a more interesting game for Denver. A little bit of revenge for Fangio, the defensive coordinator for Miami. I do believe Miami's going to run the football if you don't have Waddle. So you're looking at more of a Mostert thing here if there's no Waddle. If there is Waddle, Tua. Waddle, load it up, period. If there is no Waddle, then yes, I'm going more with the Miami run game. But the Miami run game and the Miami defense should be able to win this game. Denver makes a mistake. They're going to do what I said last week. Russ is going to turn it over late. You know, he'll play most of the game good. But that 25% where they can't polish off is going to cost this team again. Denver is still trying to figure out how to be dominant in running the ball from week to week, too. Javonte Williams has not been what we expected. P. Ryan obviously has not been what we expected. P. Ryan's been a little bit more than Javonte has because we expected less of P. Ryan. But I'm not giving up on the two of them. This is a great opportunity for that offense to run the football. But as a whole, I don't see them winning this game. Even if Miami doesn't have Waddle, they're going to find a way to get it done. They're going to come away with another victory. Denver's going to have to measure themselves off of how badly they lose this football game. If they're in it or they win it, you know, maybe this is more of a buy-in for Peyton in his way, but they don't have a lot of consistency. And Miami gets very, very humid. So if it's a hot, humid day, which I'm not saying it's going to be, I don't know the weather, I can see Denver imploding a little bit. Reload. New England at the Jets. All right, New England can win this game. They can go to New York and win this game. The Jets are not tough without Aaron Rodgers. Wilson is who he thought he was at quarterback, right? So, to quote Denny Green, not a lot to be worried about there. If you are the Jets, you desperately need to run the football with Breeze Hall this week. You've got to assert him. They've got him. There's no questionable status. He's healthy. Him and Cook, get him out there. Run him. That is what you're going to need if you want to beat New England. That's the path to victory against this New England defense. Running the football, the secondary, and those younger guys in the secondary showing too well too early. So you're going to have to try another door. Door number one ain't going to be working on this team. The Jets need to run the football, period. You got to give Wilson some help by playing good defense and running the football. Those things the Jets can do. So we got to look for that. Looking for that mightily. Okay. New England, though, is going to win this game because their defense is going to force the Jets' offense into a mistake. Wilson's going to make a mistake. Also, New England's going to be able to run the football. I like Ramon Stevenson. It's not even so much like he's going to get production, and it's not just the running, but it's the catching of the passes. The Jets can't cover the running back out of the backfield for whatever reason, and so New England exploits that. Stevenson goes off. I think Mac Jones has a serviceable day, you know, but there isn't, like, maybe Kendrick Bourne's a lead receiver. Who cares? Like, Sauce Gardner's going to be on him. I don't see a lot from the passing game, but the checkdowns, the tight end, so Hunter Henry and Stevenson, love these guys in a game that them and the New England defense lead the way in the victory for. Reload. Buffalo at Washington. So Buffalo on the road, defense should be poised. I think Josh Allen has another, you know, good week as opposed to a bad Josh Allen week. I do think that he can get some goal line touches and score touchdowns. Not too much looking at Cook. Even if they're running the ball out, there's not a ton there. I just don't see a ton there. If you got him in season, play Cook and feel fine about it. But DFS, I'm not worried about that. Buffalo's defense is going to lead the way. Allen's going to do what he needs to do. Diggs is in play for sure. I'm a little less on Gabe Davis this week. Diggs is going to do what he needs to do for sure. Tight end, you can have it with Washington, but Buffalo just doesn't go there consistently. If you want to try it, if it's Kincaid or Knox, you got to go with Knox over Kincaid. But I probably stay away from that matchup in particular. Love Allen. Don't get there for DFS. But if I did, I would do it in a tournament with Diggs. All right, on the other side, Washington. You know, they're going to have to run the football. Brian Robinson Jr. is the best chance for them to slow this game down, play a little defense, run the football, try to keep the Buffalo offense off the field at all costs. I do think that life is going to be tough for Washington trying to pass the ball. That's why I don't give them a chance. I think by the second half, Buffalo will kind of hone in on whatever it is Washington wants to try to do to win this game. So it'll get out of hand for them. Just don't see a lot of ways of wiggling. Like, think about a little mouse in the corner and there's a big cat, big paws, and he's got you in this corner, right? And it's like, first you had the whole room and now you've been moved into this corner and it's inevitable, right? So that's what we're going to be looking at on Sunday in Washington. Reload. Atlanta at Detroit. Detroit's at home again, but they're playing a better defense this week. Should have won that game last week. I had them winning. You know, they seem to be better at home like last year is what we were thinking. But they let that game go, which just shows that there's just something that this team is missing. I don't know what it is, that final nail in the coffin to, you know, really step up and dominate these games where you should. They can't seem to do it. Atlanta, they're going to struggle again. I think the offense looks less prolific this week. I'm not taking a chance on Goff like last week. He was cash game last week. I'll be way more concerned about that this week. Okay. Where would they go? So you got Gibbs because, you know, Montgomery's out, but Craig Reynolds is going to get some run too. So I would, you know, just be leery. Gibbs is going to get 100% of the rushes there. Atlanta's secondary is a little tougher. I do think that AJ Terrell is going to, you know, see a lot of Amon-Ra St. Brown. So that's not great for them. Nobody else is really often stepping up. Laporta's in a decent matchup, not a great matchup. Detroit's going to struggle a little more. In fact, I think that they could lose this football game. Ridder is not great. He's in a great matchup, but he is not great. London's in a great matchup, but I don't think he's great. Pitts is in a great matchup. I don't think he's great, but I think he has the best chance of scoring a touchdown for this team. I do like Bijan Robinson. That's what's going to keep them in the game. So you just do what you want to do as Arthur Smith anyway. Run, run, run. Disguise those few passes, and hopefully they'll pay off for you. I think Detroit's going to have some issues with this Atlanta team here. I'm going to say Atlanta wins, but if it turns out that Detroit wins this game, it's going to be because their defense actually showed up and got rid of the turn the ball over. I don't see it right now. I think Atlanta's going to be able to play their little creepy slow game, and, you know, Detroit's going to let this one slip through their fingers, I think. Reload. New Orleans going to Green Bay. Okay, Green Bay tougher in the secondary. We talked about Jaire Alexander seeing a lot of Olave. So does that open up things for Michael Thomas? Sure, but it really seems that Rashid Shaheed has been the, you know, the benefactor to more aggressive coverage towards Olave. So I have a lot of interest in him in cash game this week because I want to pay down with somebody that's not going to bottom out. And this guy is out there in the 11 packages. So we know he's going to get the looks because he's on the field. Love that. As far as the New Orleans offense goes, though, it's going to be a tough day for Carr. I think he's going to have problems getting it to Olave, maybe problems getting it to Michael Thomas. The run game is an easier path to victory. Tony Jones surprised everybody, sadly. And, you know, two touchdowns, 12 attempts, 34 yards, mostly futile, but he got the two goal line touches. Now, Kendra Miller's back. So, if you know, I've got some interest in DFS of playing the running offense, but as a whole, so the both of them, I'll play them together because they're both super cheap and I want to fit in what I want to do with the passing game. So, that's the path to victory for New Orleans. They're 2-0. This is not a bad football team. They want to go up to Lambeau and come out with this victory, and they really feel that they can if they stick to the game plan. Defense and running the football. Now, that defense is going to have to match up against this Green Bay offense. So you've got, you know, Watson, and you've also got – why am I blanking on the other wide receiver for Green Bay right now? That's so weird. Dobbs. I don't know. What's wrong with me today? Anyways, Dobbs. So, you know, Dobbs and Watson, but you have New Orleans. And so Lattimore has been better than serviceable. I think Dobbs is the number one. I don't see him having a great opportunity here coming back from injury against Lattimore mostly. So the next man up would be Christian Watson, but I don't see Watson, you know, beating this team deep. The New Orleans secondary is not that bad. So, you know, Jaden Reed maybe. I mean, but I'm not that interested in the Green Bay passing game as I am the Green Bay running game. I think that's where they have an opportunity to shine. So if Jones is back, I like him. If it's not him, I love Dylan. Dylan even more if Jones is ruled out because it's not a split time. But this was a scenario last week and it didn't pay off for us. And so I'm not going to go there in DFS. But, you know, if you have Dylan, feel great. If you have Jones, feel great if you run him out too. This will be a tougher game for Love. I do think the home environment is going to help them. The defense is going to try to help them. But I'm going to say New Orleans upsets them on the road here at Lambeau and wins this football game. Reload. Houston at Jacksonville. So this is a winnable one for Jacksonville. Stroud, serviceable, putting up numbers here and there. But I just don't see them as having a chance to win this football game. Their defense also isn't rounding into something that, you know, is to be feared. They're not super terrible, but they're bad enough to where they're going to be beat, right? So Jacksonville, you know, Calvin Ridley, who will have a better week than last week. I don't know if he goes nuclear, but I like Christian Kirk again, though. I do believe Zay Jones still out there running he's in the 11 group. So, sorry, guys. He's in the 11 group, but, you know, he saw so much attention that Christian Kirk got some one-on-one looks down the field, and I think that's going to happen again. So I like Kirk again. Etienne fine because they'll be up. Sorry. And I think that they'll be able to run the football. That's what I like there. The Jacksonville defense can be serviceable, but not great. They haven't played great. So on the other side of the ball, Nico Collins, you might be able to get away with that. So if you got to play him for seasonal, just do it. Don't feel bad about it. DFS, I'm not getting there. Pierce, I'm getting out of that game too. Trusted him last week. Couldn't do anything with it. So we'll get away from that. Houston's on the road here. I don't think they're going to win this game. They're going to be competitive for a little bit. But ultimately, Jacksonville will have their victory. All right, reload. Chargers at Minnesota. This game, everybody thinks it's going to go way over. You know, everybody's going to put a lot of attention on this in DFS, so I want to try to maneuver my way around it if I can. But both these defenses are not great. Both the offenses can put up points. Minnesota seems to be a little bit more prolific than the Chargers, but Minnesota will turn it over more than just about anybody too. So this is what we're expecting, this back and forth, right? Who's viable? I mean, who you want? You know, Herbert's viable in this one. Allen's viable in this one. Mike Williams a little less viable in this one. Eckler ruled out. Kelly's going to be the guy again, but I against Minnesota defense, I don't know. I think just passing is the way to go. So that passing offense, definitely in play. Gerald Everett, I mean, you could try it, but I'm thinking it's the wide receivers, right? So Mike Williams more than Everett. Other side of things, though, Minnesota. And, they bring in Cam Akers. I don't think that's going to be anything this week to worry about. Or necessarily moving forward for Madison. I just think that he's depth there. I just don't, unless Madison goes down. Now, for Cousins, he's in play too. I think Jefferson's in play. Addison's in play. Hockenson's fine too. You can play them, but Hockenson is not going to have as good of a week as I think he had last week. But he can still be played serviceably. So if you have him a seasonal, feel fine to play him. And, all those pieces make sense. Both defenses are bad. I don't think that anybody stops anybody, but Minnesota finds a way to win this one. It's do or die for both these teams, though, because they're both 0-2. So both of you guys are 0-2. You can't go 0-3 and expect that you're going to be making the playoffs. That's a really, really hard thing to do. So this should be an exciting football game. But I think being at home, Minnesota, a little bit too much firepower, they'll win. The Chargers are not coached well. They have great players. They don't seem to get the best out of the system or the guys. Sometimes they look confused. They're going to be on the road. This is an early game for them. It's the early slot. It's a 10 a.m. game. All of it I don't like about it. So we'll say Minnesota finds a way to win it. Reload. Carolina at Seattle. Okay. No Bryce Young. Good. Let him sit. That's fine. He's bad. But you get Andy Dalton. Dalton saw these Seattle Seahawks last year. I don't particularly think that's great or not great. I think he's going to be overused on DFS. And I think he got like less than 200 against them last year. Maybe a touchdown. Something like that. So we could find that production somewhere else. Let other people go there. But Andy Dalton's who you get at Carolina. I think it does make the team have more continuity. I do think those wide receivers take a step forward, but they're at ground zero now. And so a step forward, I don't think is going to be enough to like be a slate breaker for us, right? So that's just not what we're going to see. But they're in a better place. Miles Sanders continues to be in a better place. He's in a great place. I expect him to get the run this week. That's the guy I want to key in on. You want to use him for DFS? That's great. I think there's a lot of guys that I'm not using for DFS for running back this week that are cheap enough that I just won't get there. But Sanders should have a really good week. Carolina's defense, I think, is not going to be able to do enough. They're missing a couple of pieces. That will matter as it comes down to the stretch of the game. So I do think that Seattle will be able to run the football. And Geno will do enough to get by. They're going to win that game. You know, I don't know if the defense shows up and gets turnovers for Seattle. However, I do think that, you know, you could see Lockett having another good game. That's very possible. More attention should be on Metcalf, which isn't necessarily an issue, but he's banged up with the rib injury. And so I think just more of a stalemate between him and his defender this week. Whereas, you know, Lockett could see more things schemed up, you know, for him. Ultimately, they should lean on Kenneth Walker, though. That's who we feel best about. I think Seattle gets the 2-1 here this week. And sends Carolina back home across the country, 0-3. Reload. Dallas going to Arizona. So Dallas without Stephon Diggs. They lost him Thursday in practice. ACL injury, I believe. So he's gone for the year. Stinks for them. But this week, it's not going to be as big of a deal. As they get tougher offensive opponents, that'll be a problem. But for this week, Dallas defense still be great. You know, Dallas will be fine. You can run the football. They should try. Pollard was in a great place last week. We didn't get the type of production that I was expecting. But you can go back to that this week. CeeDee Lamb is in a great place this week too. there's a lot of options, so I'm not overly in love with any one because Dallas can use a lot of different ways to beat a very bad Arizona defense. On the other side of the ball, Connor's going to be running, but I don't care. You could play Ertz if you want, the checkdowns. Rondale Moore if you don't want to play Ertz. I probably don't ever play Ertz or Moore under any circumstance this week, Moore. But Ertz, if you need to play a tight end, you don't have one. That's fine. Okay. Dallas is going to win that game. That's enough talking about that. Reload. Chicago at Kansas City. Don't know what's going on with the Bears this week. My Bears are looking terrible. Don't know what's going on there, but they'll have to figure it out. Chicago can't go to Kansas City and win this game. There's too much going on this week. Offensive or defensive coordinator turnover. Mahomes should be able to carve them up. We got some, you know, injuries in the secondary. I think the slot coverage is going to be questionable for sure. So I'm really expecting Kelsey this week to have a great week. Kelsey and Mahomes will hook up. Kelsey will have a good week. He's flying under the radar right now because he's been so expensive and we haven't had that top tier production everybody's used to. This will be a bounce back week for him. The offense will be humming in general, but I like Kelsey and I like Pacheco as they run the clock down. McKinnon, the wide receivers, I think I'm a little leery to take a chance on one of those guys because Mahomes doesn't seem to have a preference yet. We haven't figured that out, right? But the Kansas City defense should be in a great spot. Be able to rush the, you know, rush. They should have Fields running all over the place. He says the offense has been bad because he's been forced to be mechanical. He wants to play more backyard style. Do it if you want to. I don't think it's going to make a difference. I don't really have those guys as amounting to much, but I have interest in Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson this week because I want to pay down at running back, and they're on the field. They're going to see touches. So Chicago does not win that game, though. Reload. Sunday night, Pittsburgh going to Vegas. Pittsburgh is feeling very good about themselves coming off of that victory against Cleveland, and they want to continue the momentum. Najee Harris, I think you run the football with him. That makes the most sense against this Vegas defense, but Vegas isn't very good all around. I think the Pittsburgh offense isn't very good either, though, and so I'm not going to get overly invested there. Freiermuth, or if anybody, if you need a tight end, but I'm not going to live in a world where Kenny Pickett is better than what I'm seeing. I'm just not. I watch all these games, y'all, and I'm just not going to live in that world. He's not activating 2 and 3 wide receivers. It's not going to happen. So Freiermuth, Najee Harris, the Pittsburgh defense. That's what we're looking at, the Pittsburgh defense. They should, you know, Watt and company should be able to get to Jimmy G. They should have a good time getting to him. They should get to him quickly. I don't think that Jimmy G will have the opportunity to get the ball to Davante Adams as often as he wants. That's going to be an issue for them. I do think that the path to victory here for them is running with Josh Jacobs. They should try that like they should have tried last week. They've got to get more running there, but this is a tough game for Vegas at home. They don't seem like a very good football team. Pittsburgh seems like a much better football team, and I think they can get on a roll with 2 in a row here. I'm going to give it to Pittsburgh, led by the defense, basically. Reload. On to Monday night. We got 2 games on Monday night. That's fun. I like that. So we got 2 games on Monday night. Philly at Tampa Bay, battle of the undefeateds. Tampa Bay is not going to stay undefeated, guys. Sorry to be the one to spoil it for you, but it's not going to happen. Philadelphia's defense should be able to play aggressively. They're going to give Baker a lot to think about, but they haven't been great against the zone. So if you want to play Evans, that's great. I think they're going to need to put points on the board. Godwin probably will play too. Rashawn White, if you need a seasonal, get there, right? Those are the people that we're looking at primarily. And the game that Tampa's going to lose, the Philly defense is in play. The Philadelphia offense is in play. Swift seems to be the back right now. But you don't really want to run against Tampa Bay. This is going to be a Jalen Hurts game. This is going to be an A.J. Brown game. This is going to be a Devontae Smith game. Maybe we see Goddard get right, but I really think it's more of the wide receivers. But at any rate, Philadelphia should have this game put away pretty early. And we go to our final shot of making a good one. Reload for Monday night. Battle of the Super Bowl 50. Rams at Cincinnati. And we don't know if Burrow's going to play. It sounds like he's not going to play. I don't think Burrow's going to play. They actually signed another quarterback, you know, from practice squad or whatever, just, you know, whoever. But Cincinnati this is probably going to be a tougher matchup if you don't have Burrow. Obviously, you lean on, you know, your running game. You lean on, you know, Mixon, of course, for sure. Just like, that's like what you have to do, right? But it's going to be a tough game for them. Their defense doesn't look great. That's the thing that I'm worried about, because the Rams have shown that, you know, Stafford can put it up, a couple 300-yard games. And so that looks to be an option. Kyren Williams in play. Puka Nacua, Tutu Atwell. I like Atwell more than Nacua. I think that Nacua finally cools off a little bit here. I do think Tyler Higbee once again in play. Let's see if they get it to him. But the Rams have this guy called Aaron Donald. And so when you have Aaron Donald, that is a game changer on the defensive line. So I think that he provides a lot of pressure. And if you have, what, Jake Browning going to play quarterback or whatever, then I think that's going to be a long day for him. And so we're going to see Cincinnati with their backs against the wall. I think they could be staring down the barrel of on three, basically, if Joe Burrow doesn't play. If Joe Burrow plays, then they're going to win that football game. But they're still rounding into themselves. They don't look great. They don't seem to be doing any one thing particularly well. This would be a great opportunity for the defense to step up. However, the Rams offense look better than the Cincinnati defenses look. Stafford can have another game through the air for sure. I think Kyren Williams will, you know, get the touches and looks, but I don't think he goes ballistic against Cincinnati here. But he does enough, right? This is a game that we have to give to the Rams right now on Monday, unless Papa Joe Burrow plays. But that's our reload. That's how we see it shaping up this week. So hopefully that gives you guys a fantastic idea of what you think you need to do. Who you think you need to play? Which direction do you need to go? That's my game scripts.
And now time for the part of the show where the process goes over our DFS fantasy football picks for the week. We'll go over cash game plays, tournament or GPP plays, and sometimes talk about stacks that you can use to leverage your wins for the week.
None left to do but to make some DFS picks for you. This is it, guys. This is what we're looking at this week. And like I said, much more concise picks. We want to hone it in. And I wore my Dolphins gear as a ode to what we want to do this week. So at quarterback, we want to go with Tua, $7,000. I'm just plugging in Tua at quarterback. What about cash game? Ralph, what about tournament? Tua. That's the answer this week, Tua. 7K. If Waddle plays, we play Tua. That's a big if. Kirk Cousins at $6,900 is going to be way too popular, and we can get this production from Tua. I don't want to be part of that ownership game. Now, if Waddle doesn't play, then we go Deshaun Watson. We've talked about in this show how the passing offense for Cleveland getting better, and they're in a great spot this week. So him and Cooper, right? But if there's no Waddle, then we switch from Tua to Watson. So we got to watch that until game day. And then I might play Watson in a one-off tournament. But that's what I'm rolling with, Tua, Watson. Wide receivers, $7,500. We're going to play Waddle. And if Waddle doesn't go, we're going to play Diggs at $8,100 as his replacement, which fits with paying down for Deshaun Watson at $6,100. So we can make that possible. Keenan Allen at $7,600, maybe in an alternate lineup. He's just going to be very popular, though. That's the one thing I'm real concerned about. I don't think he goes off again like that this week, even though he's in a great spot. But there's going to be so many people attracted to that play right there. Maybe just a one-off tournament. But Waddle and or Diggs, right? Behind them, Michael Pittman Jr., $6,200. Fits right into what I want to do with cash games. He's going to get those touches against that Baltimore defense. They're too banged up with injuries. So $6,200 is a great price for a guy that's in a prime position to dominate his defenders that he'll see for most of the day, 70% of the day. Amari Cooper, $5,700 versus Tennessee. They got that great run defense, but there should be some opportunity in the air, as we said. So, you know, tougher day for Ford, but, you know, Amari Cooper has been okay. He's fighting through that injury, as I said. And Watson is getting his legs back under him. They take another step forward this week. So, you know, even if Tua doesn't play and then we got to play Watson, you see we still have Watson's guy Cooper. So we got to click in this week, right? So Watson – oh, I'm sorry. So Waddle, Pittman, Cooper. Those are our wide receivers. And if we don't have Tua, then we're going Diggs, Pittman, Cooper. Got it? Got it. All right. We also want to mention, like we mentioned last week, Tank Dell and Tyler Boyd. So we want to have an honorable mention or, a, you know, who can we play if, right? That's going to be Addison for Minnesota. That's how we'll get a part of that game. If you want to make a little tournament, you know, play with him. $5,500 versus the Chargers. I'm in on that. And then Rashid Shaheed at $4,200 versus Green Bay. Explain why he should be in play. That's going to be the guy to save the lineup and make all this work. So we're in on him. But that's what we're looking at, wide receiver right there, basically. Tight end, Kelsey, we're paying up $7,200 versus the Bears. I think we're going to get some separation and ownership at that price. And also basically just what Kelsey's been doing or not, or lack of what he's been doing. And then we can pay down, if you don't want to pay that, for Hunter Henry, $4,100 if you can't make Kelsey work. Just do that. That's all. Last week, the guy at the ends performed for us. The most expensive, the least expensive, the middle guys were the middle guys. Let's cut out the middle. So we're just going to play Kelsey or Henry. Running backs. Okay, this guy, guys, this week, to make this lineup work, I want to pay down in running back. I'm not looking for maximum production. I'm looking for running backs that are going to be on the field and get some touches and not blank me. If they score touchdowns, that's upside, man. But I'm looking for guys that won't get zeros that fit in with those higher owned guys that I want at quarterback and wide receiver and tight end. So for me, for this week, it looks like this. Antonio Gibson at $4,700 versus Buffalo. The way to attack that defense is running the football. And so we do think that there's an opportunity to do that. And it makes sense that you won't have every run play be for Brian Robinson Jr. You have to mix in Gibson. He's good for about 4 or 5 touches a week. And so I'll take that at that price. And I'm going to pair him with Spears from Tennessee versus Cleveland. He's the change of pace back for King Henry. We know Derrick Henry's the guy. This isn't about, is he taking his place or taking more of his reps? It's not any of that, but Henry doesn't get 100% of the runs in the game. Somebody else has to take those runs when he needs a breather. It's this guy, right? And so, again, another guy that we just designate at such a cheap price to be a part of this lineup and do something special, right? Okay. Those are the two that I'm using, but I'm going to give you two more tandems you can use. So again, as you guys can see, I'm basically just doing 3 lineups, right? And maybe just 2. But the other two tandems, P. Ryan and Algier, $4,900 and $5,100. That one costs a little bit more. But again, both getting reps every week. And the third tandem is going to be Kendra Miller and Tony Jones Jr. We know that Jamal Williams is injured, and we know that Kamara is still out another week for suspension. So those are the two guys. You could play them together in the two running back positions and get all of that New Orleans running game, which is the way to attack the Green Bay defense. Save that money and go play elsewhere. That's what we want to do. That's what we want to do. So I'm going with Gibson and Spears, but the alternates are those other two if I have to switch to the Watson lineup or if I'm doing the Watson lineup in the tournament. So those are the scenarios where I do those other two groupings. But, guys, that's what I'm doing this week, and we're keeping it simple. And so I think that's going to give us a better opportunity to have success. Don't focus on trying to reach every single thing. What do we see that's going to be making the most chance possible for us to score, you know, high end points to win? You need over 150 points for a real contest on DFS to win. So this is the lineup to do it. All right. Thanks so much, guys. Really quickly, www.tigerbombsae.com. That's where you find us. You can watch this there. You can listen to this podcast there. You can also look at the pages for the other podcasts that we have here at Tiger Bomb. You can also search for us online, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, X, Twitter, whatever you want. Just search Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment. We'll come up, like, subscribe, whatever, clap, whatever the appropriate thing to do is, and you can keep up with us. X, though, if you want to hit me on X, you can find us through there. Like we just said, you could, you know, just search for Sports Audio Entertainment. You'll find the Tiger Bomb X page, and then that'll be easy enough to find the process page there, because we have a second page for the process. So you can find us pretty simply. And I'm especially pointing out the X stuff, because if you have last minute Stardom Sit-Em questions, boom, do that. I'll answer it. I'll retweet it. We'll put it out there. All right. Good luck, everybody. We'll talk about what we saw last week and do it again. Peace.
The process is brought to you by Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment.